At first, Ender believed that they would bring him back to Earth as soon as things quieted down. But things were quiet now, had been quiet for a year, and it was plain to him now that they would not bring him back at all, that he was much more useful as a name and a story than he would ever be as an inconvenient flesh-and-blood person. And there was the matter of the court-martial and the crimes of Colonel Graf. Admiral Shamrajnagar tried to keep Ender from watching it, but failed. Ender had been awarded the rank of Admiral, too, and this was one of the few times he asserted the privileges the rank implied. So he watched the videos of the fights with Stilson and Bonzo, watched as the photographs of the corpses were displayed, listened as the psychologists and lawyers argued whether murder had been committed or the killing was in self-defense. Ender had his own opinion, but no one asked him. Throughout the trial, it was really Ender himself under attack. The prosecution was too clever to charge him directly, but there were attempts to make him look sick, perverted, criminally insane. "Never mind," said Mazur Rackham. "The politicians are afraid of you, but they can't destroy your reputation yet. That won't be done until the historians get at you in 30 years. Ender didn't care about his reputation. He watched the videos impassively, but in fact he was amused. "In battle, I killed 10 billion buggers, whose queens at least were as alive and wise as any man, who had not even launched a third attack against us, and no one thinks to call it a crime." All his crimes weighed heavy on him, the deaths of Stilson and Bonzo, no heavier and no lighter than the rest. And so, with that burden, he waited through the empty months until the world that he had saved decided he could come home. One by one, his friends reluctantly left him, called home to their families to be received with heroes' welcomes in hometowns they barely remembered. Ender watched the videos of their homecomings and was touched when they spent much of their time praising Ender Wiggin, who taught them everything, they said, who taught them and led them into victory. But if they called for him to be brought home, the words were censored from the videos, and no one heard the plea. For a time, the only work in Eros was cleaning up after the Bloody League War and receiving the reports of the starships, once warships, that were now exploring the bugger colony worlds. But now, Eros was busier than ever, more crowded than it had ever been during the war, as colonists were brought here to prepare for their voyages to the empty bugger worlds. Ender took part in the work as much as they would let him. It did not occur to them that this 12-year-old boy might be as gifted at peace as he was at war. But he was patient with their tendency to ignore him, and learned to make his proposals and suggest his plans through the few adults who listened to him, and let them present them as their own. He was concerned not about getting credit, but about getting the job done. The one thing he could not bear was the worship of the colonists. He learned to avoid the tunnels where they lived, because they would always recognize him. The world had memorized his face. And then they would scream and shout and embrace him and congratulate him and show him the children they had named after him and tell him how he was so young it broke their hearts, and they didn't blame him for any of his murders because it wasn't his fault, he was just a child. He hid from them as best he could.